Now, we learn that there's external opposition, right? And I believe that external opposition makes you stronger. But there's another kind of opposition. It's internal. And that makes us weaker.
From the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, the founder and president of the Intentional Living Center and your advocate for the family. Today marks part three of Randy's five-part series entitled Pursuing a Dream Worth Finding. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome to our Intentional Living broadcast studio here today live. We're going to pick up with that teaching in just a moment, and this is very applicable to your life. If you're doing anything, you're going to face opposition. Anything worthwhile, you're going to face opposition. Trying to be a good mom, somebody's going to oppose you. You know, maybe somebody in your family. You're going to get opposition. You're going to be told what you're doing wrong, how you should do it different. That's true in business. It's true in any area of life. We're going to talk about opposition and how the first century church dealt with it. As I said, some opposition makes you stronger, some makes you weaker. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Just before we get to that, though, I want to remind you of the Thrive Conference. And I'm really, really hammering at this because of the focus is this Friday is the cutoff for the early bird registration. We wanted to give a discount for people who registered in September, and September is about expired here. It's going to be in Phoenix, October 26th, or you can stream worldwide wherever you listen. If you listen in Michigan or Florida, or if you're listening to me overseas, anywhere on the planet, you can join us online for the Thrive Conference. Great lineup of teachers. Just go and check it out. I want you to go look at the brochure and the information. It's a passionate day that we have to help you and encourage you, specifically for families, for couples, for people who work with families in business. You want to start a family business, you're in a family business, or your family working together in some capacity. October 26th, deadline for registration, early registration, Friday. Go today. TheIntentionalLife.com. TheIntentionalLife.com. Or we have a direct web address as well, FamilyBusinessConference.com. Okay? All right, let's get back to this teaching. Let's deal with the reality of opposition. You need to expect opposition. Sometimes it's internal, as you're going to learn. Sometimes it's external. And how do you approach it? How do you deal with it? Let's get back to the teaching. So what else do we learn as far as pursuing a dream? Turn to Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. You know this is coming. You got this expanding church. It's exploding. You got thousands of people. Just imagine a revival of thousands of people in Jerusalem turning to accept Christ in this message that Peter and the early church are sharing. And it says in chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, "Now as they spoke to the people," the disciples are speaking to the people now, this growing throng of thousands of people, "the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preach that Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead." Don't you know it? No matter what you do, the church, like us, will encounter opposition. External opposition. The Sadducees, of course, didn't believe in the resurrection. And so this was a doctrinal problem. Not only that, they probably were jealous. But here's these guys teaching that there's resurrection. We don't believe there's resurrection. How many of us in our churches today bicker over the stuff that we don't agree on? Think of the opposition that we have, even in this ministry. I mean, over the years, if we collected all the letters into one pile, it'd be about this high of people who says, "Randy, you shouldn't say this, and that's not biblical, and this is wrong, and that's wrong, and why aren't you doing it this way?" Do you have that kind of issue going on in your life? Do you have people who just oppose whatever it is that you are doing with your family or how you're living your life or how you're growing in Christ? There's always people that think you should do it differently. And the reality is, we will always have external opposition. Mel Johnson, some of you know who he is. He's now in heaven. He was one of our original board members. And he used to tell me, I can remember as a young man, as I was just getting into ministry, and he would say, "Randy, I want to tell you something. Remember this. If you're ever doing anything worthwhile for Christ, there's going to be people who don't like it." I would even go as far to say, if you're not receiving opposition to how you're living your life, I mean, in the right way, please. I'm not saying you're living in sin and people are opposing you, then listen. But if you really are obedient to God and there's people who are opposing you, thank God for it. Because I think that's evidence of the fact that we have a conviction of what we know and what we believe. And we're living it not out of trying to create disputes or trying to be adversarial, but when we know what we believe, there's going to be the Sadducees and coming and hauling you away like they did. They hauled Peter into jail. The interesting thing is, if you look there in verse 4, however, it says, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came now to about 5,000 in the church, just the men. You add in the women and children, and you've got well over 10,000 people in this church. And if you go on and read the following words, it continued to explode. Here's the point. When you have a dream, and it could be a dream for a mission, it could be a dream for your personal life, it could be a dream for your family, here's the point. Expect opposition and allow it to make you bolder. Because that's what happened with these guys. They didn't back away. They didn't run at the first opposition. They allowed the opposition to strengthen them, to make them stronger. I believe this, if you're not being opposed, it doesn't force you to really know what you believe. When you stand and you know what you believe and why you believe it, and people want to challenge it, you have an opportunity to stand boldly and lovingly on the position that God has given you. And why? Now, we learn that there's external opposition, right? And I believe that external opposition makes you stronger. But there's another kind of opposition. It's internal. And that makes us weaker. Turn over to chapter 5 of Acts. Now remember, this is where he's seeing the account of this first church and what they're facing. I want to read these 11 verses because you probably heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And I've always wondered, why is that in the Bible? This is the first century church, and this couple are part of this church, this exploding church. And of course, we know that they had everything in common. And that was something that you saw in the Jerusalem church that you didn't necessarily see in later churches. But here in Jerusalem, that they had everything in common. They would sell their possessions and share with each other to build each other up. Listen to this story. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it. So the Bible wants you to know, this guy didn't do this in secret. She knew about it. And brought the certain part, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now, does it make you wonder how he knew they did that? I mean, they were doing this in secret, right? And they brought a portion of it, laid it at Peter's feet. Peter had to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. These people are disobeying and dishonest. Whew. Now, listen what happens. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not yours to control? In other words, it's yours. You owned it. You are responsible for it. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men. You lied to God. He really brought out the big one there, didn't he? You know, it's not about me as a pastor here. You didn't lie to me. You lied to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. Now, there's an HR department.
This is Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. In just a moment, Dr. Randy presents the next part of his teaching. Today's teaching is just part of a larger study provided to help you live an intentional life in Christ. Find out more about the entire study and how you can get a copy for yourself. Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours 1-888-1717 and press option 4.
In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he said, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." Now that's a great goal, albeit a bit broad, but the great thing about intentional living is that it will help you to put together and pursue specific and godly goals for your life. You'll find our featured teaching to be both practical and biblical, and it will help you to be intentional as you find and pursue your God-directed goals and dreams. Get the complete teaching on CD with our thanks when you give a gift of any amount to the ministry. And when you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive this teaching plus another teaching, Finding a Dream Worth Pursuing, and a bonus teaching. That's three practical full-length teachings on three CDs from Dr. Randy when you become a member. And as a member, you'll receive more great teaching CDs every month. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call 1-888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press option number 4.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you heard on the radio today, but all sessions for this entire study. Just go to theintentionallife.com to find out more. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy in the teaching studio at the Intentional Living Center.
Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men. You lied to God. He really brought out the big one there, didn't he? You know, it's not about me as a pastor here. You didn't lie to me, you lied to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. Now, there's an HR department. Can you imagine today if there was dishonesty and we fell dead? That's a scary thought, isn't it? Our halls would be strewn with all around the world, mass death everywhere. It's interesting. So great fear came upon all of those who heard these things. There was something going on in this early church. I mean, this is pretty severe stuff. I mean, I'm not God. I probably wouldn't have done this. You know, you might have called him in for a training session or sensitivity training or, you know, something that we do in our HR departments, you know, today to make sure that we can all kind of do what we're supposed to do and do job performance reviews and write them up. Could have written them up. You know, put in his file. And then verse 6, and the young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out and buried him. Now, 3 hours later, his wife came in not knowing what had happened. I love this story. I'm just thinking about his wife walking down the street and everybody in the neighborhood knows just what happened. And she's clueless. They're thinking, oh boy, Peter's in there and you are in trouble. You know? And Peter answered, and it was 3 hours later, the wife came in not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, we sold it for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you've agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look at the feet of those who have buried your husband. They're at the door, and they're about to carry you out. You got to get there in the moment. You know, like, yeah, write me up or something, but this is a little extreme. And then it says, she immediately fell down at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came, found her dead body, carried her out, buried her. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. And I thought, wow, how does that relate to getting along in the organization? Here's a key. The church encountered internal dishonesty and disloyalty, and so will you. Some of you have experienced it in your family. Some of you have experienced it with a friend. You can take external opposition and deal with it.
You can even have internal disagreements and deal with it. But you can't have internal disloyalty and dishonesty. You know, this was really, as I was studying this, God really revealed to me that this is a big deal. Because I think at heart, most of us are peacemakers. We want to get along. Can't we just all get along? You know what? We can all get along when we say, hey, maybe I don't agree on that. Can we talk about it? We can all get along of iron sharpening iron on, hey, we should be doing it this way instead of this way. We can all get along in a family. Even, don't you have kids sometimes you disagree with? But I'll tell you what, doesn't it hurt deep in any organization when you have dishonesty? When you don't know, you can't trust, or there's disloyalty? That will destroy the very fabric of any organization. It'll destroy the fabric of a dream. It'll destroy in this ministry. Boy, I welcome disagreements, and let's get on the table and iron sharpen iron and throw ideas up on the wall and tear them apart and pray about them and look at them. You can do that, but you can't have dishonesty. I think that's why this story is in the Bible. What's interesting, I'm not going to read it, but there's another part that comes up very shortly afterward that says more and more people were added to the church, but some feared doing so. You know what? We make becoming a Christian today so easy. The reality is, if you give your life to Christ, you're a transformed person. And there's a level of responsibility. And we're going to be held to a different standard as a result of it. And I think the story here that we see of this couple is that this new church with these people who are starting to really follow Christ, you can't tolerate that in an organization. That would have destroyed that church, see? And I think God gives us this story to help illustrate that internal dishonesty will make the organization weaker. We see it, you know, as some of the Bible characters. Samson had Delilah, right? Jesus had Judas Iscariot. Who do you have? Who do you have in your life that's just not honest? No, I mean, we all have moments when we struggle with things, but I'm just talking about having that as an issue. And you and I know when that becomes an issue, it's a problem. And here's a point. It's a hard saying, but I believe it. Get dishonest and disloyal people out of your organization. And I have to say, even in your own personal relationships, if you have a dream or you have someone in your life who's just not disagreeable, disagreeable people can make us stronger. Dishonest people will make you weaker and will destroy the fabric of any organization.
Boy, that is a hard teaching, but it's very true. And I can see some head shaking in agreement on that one. We're back here live in our Intentional Living studio, and I'm going to pick up at that point, and we're going to continue with the story from the first century church and the application to pursuing a worthwhile dream in your life. And tomorrow, in Acts 6, we're going to see that the leadership of the church stayed very focused on their calling. It's so easy to get distracted with other things, and they didn't do that. They stayed focused. They were very intentional, and we'll pick up there. By the way, I'd love to get this into your hands. Monthly members, it's a benefit of membership. You receive all the teaching as a way of saying thanks, but if you're not, come and join us. Be a part of this journey. When you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive today's lesson plus my entire new teaching on personal goal setting. It's over an hour and a half of teaching on two CDs and some other very practical resources to say thank you, plus ongoing teaching every month on CD. Find out more today. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's where you can sign up, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, and press option number 4. You met him yesterday, John Croyle, if you were listening. John joined me. He's a former defensive end for the legendary coach Paul Bear Bryant at Alabama. And at the age of 19, God called him to do something to really help kids. He's an author and founder of Big Oak Ranch, and you can find out more about John and the ranch
at our website, theintentionallife.com. John, welcome back to the program. I know you were talking last time about finding a passion and purpose for your life and then pursuing it. So tell us, how is it you've learned to live intentionally in your own life?
I learned a long time ago the root word for intentional is your intent. What is your intent?
Mm-hmm.
And there's folks listening to us right now that are saying right now, well, I can't write a book, or I can't run a ranch, or I can't have a radio show. Please remember this, folks. God can't count. If you've got a son that God wants you to make into a great man, that is just as important to God as the millions that Randy reaches every day, or the hundreds that we've taken care of over the last 4 years. God can't count, or let me rephrase it, God chooses not to count. Because there's always that, well, I can't play for Bear Bryant. You're right. Very few got to do that. But we all can be obedient. And for me personally, wake up every morning and I ask myself three questions. What's God called me to do? Are we doing it? And what is the fruit of question one and two? And there it is. What's the fruit? So if you are living intentionally and the intent of your heart is pure and your purpose is on track and you know you're on the road, there will be fruit. Sometimes you have to wait on it. Sometimes it falls in your lap.
Mm-hmm.
But there will always be fruit. God's not going to have you do a fruitless ministry, whatever it is. And if you're a single mom, and you are fighting every day just to take care of that little 4-year-old boy and his 2-year-old sister, there is where God placed you. Yes, you can help others, but your focus, your intent, your purpose is to make them into godly men and women. And that's what we've been doing for kids whose parents did not want the job. And that's it. It's real simple.
How is fulfilling your purpose in your case, John, over these, what, you say 40 years you've been pursuing this? How do you approach your life today in terms of feeling like, hey, I live 40 years knowing what God has called me to do? Do you get an experience of peace? What is it that happens in your life as a result of finding and living your purpose?
You get hungrier. You never are satisfied. You've helped 10 kids, you want to help 12. You want to help 30. Then the ripple effect. There is a ripple effect, positive and negative, for everything we do. I'm not near as good as everybody thinks I am, and I ain't as bad as everybody thinks I am either. We're right there just kind of getting down the river the best we know how. And what we've done here, for example, we already have a succession plan. We already have got the next generation of leadership in place that we are training to take over, because we have got to make sure that train is on track. And if I wake up tomorrow and God changes the plan, well, that's great. But the thing about I've learned about God is he's consistent. He's not going to call you 1 week to be a pastor. You commit your life to be a pastor, and then after about 5 years, I think I'm going to try something else. He didn't call me to go be a ballerina. He called me to go pick up a little 10-year-old boy and say, nobody's ever going to beat you again. You belong to me now, and let's go. Let's move into manhood. Or I look at a little girl that's been raped by her father and just say, this ain't happening anymore. As long as I breathe, no one's ever going to do this to you again. That's what God put me on earth. And that clarity of focus is really boils down to the intent.
Absolutely. Hold on, John. I do want you to come back. We didn't really talk that much about your ranch and what you do and the difference it's making, and maybe a perspective you can give for parents who are listening today on the things we can do to be the parent that God intended for us to be based on what you've observed. John Croyle, my guest today. He's the founder of the Big Oak Ranch and a former defensive end for the University of Alabama, the 1973 National Championship football team, led by legendary coach Paul Bear Bryant. Boy, remember those years. We'll have more with John here on today's Intentional Living.
Success in your family business depends on success in your family relationships. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. The Thrive Conference is like a university for families and business. At Thrive, the list of guest faculty include experts in family and business relationships, including my friend Dr. Kevin Lehman and legendary sports executive Jerry Colangelo. Whether you're already in a family business or just thinking about getting started, Thrive will empower you for success in your faith, family, finances, successes and future.
Experience Thrive October 26th at Grand Canyon University Arena, or stream the conference online. Early bird deadline September 30th. Go to familybusinessconference.com, presented by the Intentional Living Center.
Yeah, it is. And let me just add, you know, we're going to be in the arena, but the way this thing is going to work is we have round tables on the floor. And so we have limited seating to that extent because we want you to be able to interact, take notes. It's going to be a day of learning and fun. I promise you're going to go away and say, wow, this was a great day. Here's the deal. We got like, you know, an early registration benefit to you. We've been promoting this month, and it ends Friday. Friday is the cutoff for early registration for the October 26th conference, either streaming it or coming live in Phoenix on October 26th. Go right now to the website, theintentionallife.com. That's our main site. Click on events. It'll take you right to that page. Or we have a direct address, which is familybusinessconference.com, familybusinessconference.com. Click on that. But please get registered. Bring the whole family. Make this a day of learning. Don't just come by yourself. Bring others as well so you can learn and relate and talk about it later, okay? We'll love to see you there.
My name is Tommy, and I've been homeless, and I've been in prison, and now I have a home and a wife and a family. And I come to the Lord a little over 6 months ago, and the Holy Spirit has shown me what to do to serve Him, and I couldn't find a job or nothing to do, so I traded a 96 Buick for a beat-up small travel trailer, and bought some utensils and some big pots, some coffee pots, and I set it up in town, and I'm feeding the hungry and the homeless and passing out Bibles and serving our Jesus. And I feel extremely good about it, and I feel the Lord has blessed me, and that's my way of serving Him. And I just want to let you know that it's given me a satisfaction and worth, self-worth. Not only that, it's serving our Lord, and something that maybe other Christians should think about, serving the Lord in a way you're just talking about Jesus, somebody. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, you're very welcome. There's passion right there. They're pursuing a dream, right? That's an example of it. Hey, listen, when we come back next time, we're going to continue this series, and I'm going to talk about, from Acts 6, how this leadership of the early church stayed very intentional and focused on their calling. And you should, too, whatever your dream is. We'll be getting into that next time. And again, as you join us in monthly support, all of the teaching, it's yours on CD. So thank you for being a part of the ministry. Go to theintentionallife.com. Okay? See you next time right here at Intentional Living.